previous to last Sunday, have already died or already eaten all the candy or whatever. We talk about these things that we receive as signs or expressions of love at Valentine's Day. They're probably already gone. They don't last forever. We talked about this love of God that certainly lasts forever. And I shared this song about love that we were teaching these middle school kids. I just kept singing it all week, and I looked it up again this week, and it was "Love in Any Language, Straight from the Heart, Pulls Us All Together, Never Apart." We have arguments and everything, but and we think about that. Love in any language, meaning love all over the world, straight from the heart, pulls us all together, never apart. And I think about what Jesus came to do, right? He came to show love for the whole world that he might bring us all together and that we never be separated, right? Because he died on the cross for us. That if we were to surrender our lives to him, that we would be with him forever. And all rooted or stems from love. It's love that God had for the whole world and certainly for each of us, love in any language, and anyone can see that, whether you can speak it or not, we can see love. We can see people are loving and kind and compassionate, just as people saw that in Jesus. But if it comes straight from your heart, is it genuine? Just as Jesus was genuine, his love was genuine for all people. And that's what draws us together. And that's what the world needs. People need to know that they're loved and feel God's love and feel love through us. And that's what God teaches us, I believe, through his son Jesus and his journey here, that we would share that with people all over the world, regardless of their status, where they might come from, or what they might look like. This love that lasts forever. And so this morning in Scripture, we're going to continue in that, knowing that on Wednesday, which is Ash Wednesday, it begins the season of Lent, and that time period leads us right to the cross, and then right into the tomb, and it's all about love. And so this morning we're going to be reading a familiar scripture that talks about one of the greatest things we hear of in the Bible. But, you know, when we think about the greatest of all time, you know, in our society today, you know, you can think for a moment this morning, what's the greatest movie of all time? Now, you personally might think of the greatest movie of all time to you, but what would that be based on? People might say, well, what do you mean? Is it the greatest movie of all time? Would it gross at the movie theater, or most people watched it? I mean, what do you base that on? But all of us probably would have our greatest movie of all time, and they think, you know, the greatest basketball player of all time. Well, you know, people talk about Kobe Bryant, well, I mean, I know he did pass away, but some people might say, well, I don't think he is. I mean, everybody, what do you base that on? I mean, everybody would have their own criteria, right? We're the greatest basketball coach of all time. And keep talking about, at these Mountaineer games, keep talking about Coach Huggins is now number 6. Well, he should probably learn how to shoot some backups, right? And he'll be number 6 country in the country. Now, see, that's controversial, right? Is he really this? Now, what's that based on? They say he's the 6th winningest coach, which you might say, well, I think Don Neal is the best coach ever, or whatever, right? So what do you base that on? The greatest of all time, the greatest coach, what, the greatest TV show of all time? I mean, what is it for you? I remember one time when my appendix ruptured. I remember I was on this in the hospital, kept watching Seinfeld. I mean, that's one of my favorite. I mean, I don't know about you, but what would that be based on for you? But I'm sure they have an official greatest TV show of all time. What about the greatest president of all time? Well, that's really controversial, isn't it? What do you base that on? The greatest president of all time. What would you base that on? I mean, think about that. And we think about in our own lives, personal things. And what's the greatest birthday gift you ever had? What's the greatest birthday you ever had? What's the greatest gift or the greatest vacation you ever had? Or the greatest moment that you ever had? And again, last night I was watching on Facebook, and several of these daddies and daughters that went to that dance were posting. I was very emotional. I actually had some tears. I mean, there's some moment that, you know, you don't get to do that a whole lot, and this is a special night. That could be a special moment of all time for you, or, you know, the greatest moment of all time when your children are born, right? I would hope one of the greatest moments of all time would be when you gave your heart to Jesus and were baptized, right? Mm-hmm. So we all have these greatest moments in our lives, and our society has greatest of everything, but it depends on how you perceive that and what your criteria might be. I mean, the greatest, you know, who made the greatest potato salad of all time? Probably my mom. That's what I would say, but you might say, oh, someone else, right? So we have all these greatest. But we think about this time period. And you know, I know we ask, if we were to ask a lot of people that were in church or go to church, and every year we have a lesson for children and youth across the street about Lent, you know, it's not in your pocket, right? I mean, but a lot of adults, see, and I know a lot of churches don't make a whole big deal about Lent. It is the season that's leading up to the greatest thing that happened of all time, I think, right? Jesus came, and He came to do what? To save the world of our sins, and to get people to join Him and believe in Him. And the greatest of all time, the greatest moments of all time. So this morning in Matthew 22, we're given this great commandment. There's two commandments, two things that should be certainly most important to you. And we're going to make sure that we're reminded of that this morning as we think about this whole idea of love that takes us right to the cross and really brings us together in our faith, I believe. So in Matthew chapter 22, you know, here's Jesus, and He's listening to these Pharisees, all these people that are gathered around. And so, you know, Jesus had these teachable moments. You see, He would listen to what people were saying, and He would hear what was being said downtown, right? And but again, Jesus always had these teachable moments with the whole crowd, small groups of people, and certainly the disciples. But here this morning in Scripture, it says here, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested Him with this question. So Jesus, what's that mean, silence the Sadducees? I mean, Jesus would go and share and do things, and it might silence them for a moment. They might say they got it. Oh, I think He might be the Son of God. But then something else would happen, and then, of course, we know what happened on the cross. But one of them, so the Pharisees are getting together now, and they're like, hey, we got a question. Verse 30, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, so, I mean, if this is Jesus, and He's saying that's the greatest, there shouldn't be any voting going on, right? I mean, that's it. I mean, you can vote on the best movie, you can vote on the best food, you can vote on all these best things, but Jesus replied, this is the best one. This is the greatest one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. With everything that you have, you should love God. Which also, therefore, would mean that He should be first, right? So they ask Him this question, He gives the answer. So should anything else be discussed? Probably not. If Jesus says it's the greatest, then again it is. We're going to go with it. And again, as we know, not everybody understands, right? Love the Lord God with all your heart. And then it goes on to say, this is the first and greatest commandment. And here's the second one. So the first one is to love God, right? And I mean, what else you need to know about that? Love God. Well, what does that mean? And He says, that's the first one, and that's the best one, right? That's the greatest commandment. And the second one is, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think what we forget is, who is our neighbor? Everyone around us is our neighbor. The neighbor we actually don't like next door. The neighbor whose dog who does his business in your yard, that's your neighbor, right? But your neighbor is everybody. And love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? I spent some time this week just praying, and man, love the neighbor as yourself. Some people don't love themselves. They really don't. You see them all the time. I see them wandering around along the school hallways every day. Don't love themselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. We got to love ourselves first. We got to know that our life has meaning, that we have worth because of this love from God, right? If you love God, it says, love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, everything about you. You got to love God. You got to love yourself before you love anybody else. And if we think again about Jesus' ministry here on earth, man, that's what he had to do first, was love people. And it didn't necessarily mean preaching at them or sharing a scripture with them. I mean, that's what we have to come to the realization in our faith. And as a church, that we need to love people first. Love them. You have to love yourself. Love your neighbor. How do you love your neighbor? I mean, those scouts last week, this whole front was full of food. They were going to their neighbors, and neighbors were helping people that were in need. Love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love yourself first. God loves us no matter what. We should love ourselves. And so the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So we're all to do that, right? It says the law and the prophets. But all people should really live by these two commandments. Love God first and love your neighbor. But you got to love yourself. You got to realize God really does love you. Many times I've messed up. All these mistakes that I've made, that God loves me. See, we make a big deal about the greatest moments of all time. And I think about probably one of the greatest moments for you guys on the team will be that winning that game last time. You'll remember that for us. That might be your greatest moment ever in your career in playing basketball, is that one game. And see, we have all these moments which are great, and they're our memories, and they make up who we are. Really, they do. But we have to be reminded in our faith that the greatest thing that ever happened was that God sent his son Jesus to love us. So we're to love him first. And then we got to love everybody else. See, in a perfect world, which it isn't, I mean, if people just love each other, man, we wouldn't have any bullying going on. I mean, think about it. There wouldn't be the ISS going on, no after-school detention. You know, people wouldn't be getting fired from work. I mean, really. I mean, come on. Families would get along. You know, people wouldn't be slapping their kids at the mall and dragging them across the boardwalk at Disney. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. If we actually loved ourselves and done exactly what God told us to do, love him first and love your neighbor. Do we do that? Our neighbor is everyone. I think we have to understand that. Our neighbor is everyone. And that's I believe that's the purpose of the church, is to share that love that we have learned in God's word with our neighbors, with all those around us. And it says here, the law and the prophets hang on to these. That's what we're to hang on to. The church is to hang on to those two commandments, the greatest of all time. And while the Pharisees are gathered together, Jesus has a question for them now, as we move on to verse 42. So they're having this discussion, and Jesus is telling them, hey, bottom line, here's the greatest two things. This is what you got to do. No discussion, no voting. It's not up for another vote. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. So, hey, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Now, this is Jesus. I said, who do you think this, what do you think about the Christ? Not just him. Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. Now, don't you get really upset when people don't listen to you, regardless of their age? You don't pay attention. They don't get it. You know, now Jesus could have been like, what are you talking about? You know, I mean, it's already here. I mean, I don't know. I get frustrated sometimes. People don't do what God tells them to do, right? And I can just imagine maybe how Jesus might have felt. He is, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said, the son of David. And being the loving guy that he was, he remained calm. And he said to them, well, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. I mean, is he talking to himself? And Jesus said, okay, well, that's what you think. Let's think this through. Think this through. Now, he didn't have any PowerPoints or any other materials to use to help get his point across. He said, well, let's just think about this. If he says, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, he calls him Lord? If he's who you say he is, and is he talking to himself? The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Now, what are they doing? They're probably thinking, this is the guy I just told him about the two greatest things ever, Jesus. And they're asking these questions. And he says, well, if David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? I mean, that just doesn't make sense, right? We have a lot of weird things that happen in our world today, but this doesn't make sense. And so, again, I believe that we see here Jesus in his loving and kind nature wants everyone to come together, right? And understand this great love of God and how we're to love him and love each other. He's trying to help them understand, no, dude, that's not right. It said no one can say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions.
What does that really mean?
I mean, Jesus, I think, wanted them to ask him questions. They wanted him to. They wanted them, everyone, to understand who he was. But from that day on, he said they dared to ask any questions. Does that mean he was right?
Well, yeah, he's right.
He's Jesus, right? And he just shared with them these two great commandments. And they have this question. He's trying to help answer this question. And I think about us today. When people ask you a question about your faith or ask you a question, there are lots of things that are happening in our world today. And people want to know the answer. What's the Bible say about that? What's the church say about that? What's the pastor believe about that? And I believe that everything that we answer with should come from God's word. And so here's Jesus. These people who didn't understand, who didn't believe, were kind of maybe on the fence, right? And he's having this conversation with them, helping them to understand that he didn't say, no, you're wrong. That's horrible to think that. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that here. He helped them understand. Let's logically think this through. If it's who you say it is, there's no way it could really happen. I am the Son of God. That's what he was trying to help them understand the whole time that he was here. Whose son is the Messiah? And so, as we think about this journey that we call the season of Lent that brings us to the cross. The next Sunday, we'll have a cross right here to remind us of that. Do we need that, though? Do we actually need a cross hanging from our neck or on our wrist or even in front of us to remind us of these two great things that God tells us that we should do, that we should love him, love God with all of our heart, with everything about us. And then it all culminates on the cross, right? God says, love the Lord God with all your heart, with everything about you. And if you really love God, if you really love God, you love yourself. How does the world know we love God? By loving other people. People can tell you love yourself and you're helping other people and you're loving them. That means, that's how we love God, right? Because he's not really here. God's watching us be loving, right? He's watching us love one another. And so as we, again, think about the cross and what that means to us. And again, there's all these forms of love and ways to share love and how do we express our love. And all these greatest of all time. Well, God said, there's the greatest commandments of all time. And if God commands us of that, we better do it. Because he's the creator of all things. And as I shared this morning, you know, he created all things. And he said it was good. And it wasn't going as he planned. He said, I'm just going to start over. I'm going to wipe him out. I can't just know a guy. He's faithful. But I can trust him. And he said, I'll never do that again. Because hopefully they'll get it this time. And then he said, then he has to send his son Jesus to show us this love that he was talking about. So this morning, I know that all of us have all these things that are going on in our hearts and in our minds, and we have lots of concerns and things that are going on in our own lives. I was at the middle school the other day, and Mrs. Kearns has had she's had so many health concerns and so many things that are going on. And every time that I'm there, when I was there in the library, she would call me and say, I'm not feeling too well. Can you come down here? And I send the kids up there. And so she ended up and had a stroke, and she's still in the hospital. But that day before she had that stroke, and she said, Kevin, I just don't know if I can do anymore. I just don't know. I mean, I try to love God. I said, what did you do? She said, I just really can't. I just don't know if I can take it anymore. This everything just seems to keep falling apart for me. And she goes, what do I do? And I said, I don't know. I know one thing we can do. We're going to pray about it. We're going to pray that God's going to take care of you. And I believe that he will. So we have all these people around us that ask those same questions. I just don't know if I can take anymore. How much more can I handle? Well, God says he loves us. And God says that we're to love him with all that we have. No matter what situation you might find yourself in financially or health condition you might find yourself in, that God loves you. He does. He just wants you to love him back. And so when people say these things to me, like, I don't know what else to do. Well, only thing I know to do is take it to the Lord in prayer. So I learned that a long time ago in this church. And I've been living by it. I had a couple other tests. And I'm going to say this morning. My good friend Jeremy, we were doing prayer requests. He said, pray for Pastor Kevin's gut. Well, you should. That's a good thing. And so I just keep showing back up for these tests. And I told the lady the other day, I said, listen, so I just need to get this over with. I got too much to do. I got a lot to do. I got to get these things taken care of. She goes, you're not worried about it. I said, no, there's no time to be worried about anything. Take it to the Lord in prayer. So I believe this week, God's going to give you an opportunity, if you let him, to share this greatest love of all time, to actually exercise these great commandments. If you really love others, you really love God, but if you love God, you love everybody. I believe God will give you an opportunity this week to love someone. It might just be a hug. Might just be a greeting. Might be a handshake. It certainly should be a prayer. When we pray for people, that shows you love and care about. And boy, when people ask me to pray, and I say this over and over, when people say pray with me, that's what we're praying right now. Love the Lord God with all that you have. Even when you're tired and can't even get out of bed, love the Lord God with all you have. Father, we love you this morning. I believe that's why we're here. Everybody that's here this morning knows you love them. And we're just trying to love you in return. We're trying to be faithful. We're trying to be compassionate, loving to other people. But we're consumed sometimes with what's happening all around us. And that's just you, and it happens. And we worry, and we try not to. And God, this morning I pray that we would just surrender everything. Bring it all to the feet of Jesus and leave it there. God, if there are those here this morning that never surrendered their life to Jesus, they do that today. Or those that need to be baptized, we celebrate with those who have been baptized in our church since the beginning of the year. For those who have any kind of decision to make, to help us with the children, to help us with ministry, to love one another, whatever it might be, God, whatever you're calling us to, I pray we respond accordingly. God, we love you. God, I love you, and I love this church. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to love other people. And boy, sometimes we fail miserably. Don't do a very good job of it, but God, we're trying our best for you. God, I know you're going to take care of me. Everything's going on in my life, in my body, and physically, and emotionally. I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to take care of everybody here. I believe that. That your will might be done. So we're not going to worry. We're just going to love the world, just like you loved us. Father, we come before you this morning, just surrendering everything. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.